Welcome into the 5 o'clock hour of this Monday edition of News on the Hill. I am Brighton McConnell. Thanks so much for tuning in to get your week started, whether it's over 97.9 The Hill or streaming us through chapelboro.com. We've got a lot of local news headlines to catch you up on from the weekend and from today. We begin from some early Monday morning. Power and normal traffic patterns have returned to a stretch of East Franklin Street in Chapel Hill. Both of them were disrupted in the early hours of Monday morning as a single vehicle crash downed an electrical pole around 1 a.m. Chapel Hill police said the driver sustained no injuries, but more than 300 people in surrounding neighborhoods had no power until this afternoon. The police department provided an update shortly before 2, saying not only is power back, but traffic is no longer down to one lane or completely closed off from East Franklin Street. Also in Chapel Hill this afternoon, members of the local NAACP chapter held a demonstration on UNC campus. The event gathered people at the steps of South Building to condemn campus police's treatment of black student protesters at a Board of Trustees meeting on June 30th. Officers, including the acting police chief Rasheem Holland, pushed and punched students who would not leave the meeting room for a closed session. In addition to asking for better treatment, demonstrators also spoke out against UNC police's inaction to remove Confederate flaggers from campus this past weekend. Social media posts showed two white men with Confederate flags sitting on the Unsung Founders Memorial and making derogatory comments toward black people on video. The monument, which honors enslaved and free black and indigenous people of color who constructed the university's campus, was not damaged by the two men, according to UNC police, which is why the flaggers were not removed from campus. In downtown Chapel Hill, East Rosemary Street is going to look very different in the coming weeks and in the coming years. As part of a greater redevelopment project along the downtown street, the town of Chapel Hill is preparing for the demolition of the existing Rosemary Street parking deck this month. 97.9 The Hill's Ava Pukach shares an update on the rough timeline and the details of the project.
The town of Chapel Hill is working with Grub Properties to redevelop East Rosemary Street. This redevelopment includes construction of an office building, green spaces, and a parking deck. Construction of the new parking deck, to be located at 125 East Rosemary Street, requires the demolition of the current Rosemary Street parking deck, also known as the CVS parking deck. Rand Northam, the communication manager for the town of Chapel Hill, said demolition of the Rosemary Street deck could begin soon.
The first things you'll see are fences starting to go up, and that'll be the indication that that parking deck is about to come down. They've put our economic development office, Dwight Bassett, and others in the manager's office have started to put out flyers along with parking services, put out flyers on cars to make sure that they know if they're a usual parker in that space, of where they can go and how they can get more information.
The demolition will make way for a new 7-story parking deck with roughly 1,100 parking spots. Project manager said the expected date of completion of the new deck is in fall of 2022. Plans for the parking deck also include a retail porch to provide a space for small businesses and vendors. After the 125 East Rosemary deck is completed, demolition of the Wallace parking deck will begin. This lot will be used for the construction of a new 250,000 square foot office and lab space building. Ahead of upcoming construction and demolition, Northam said people shouldn't worry about finding parking around town.
If you're having trouble finding a space in a normal spot, there are other lots and decks available throughout town.
Northam suggested using the website Park on the Hill and the app Park Mobile to find and pay for parking around town. Project managers previously said construction on the new deck would begin in September after demolition of the current Rosemary deck begins this month. A timeline for when the Wallace parking deck will be demolished is unclear, but project managers said it will be after the new 125 East Rosemary deck is completed. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Ava Pukach.
Turning to the town of Carrboro, July is the final month town manager David Andrews will be with the town government in that role. After a career of more than 30 years in various local governments, Andrews is set to retire. Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle spoke with us here at 97.9 The Hill last week about Andrews' career and the impact he's had on the town. She also shared details on how the search is going to find his replacement. Here's what she had to say.
So David, you know, came in as town manager a year before I was elected as mayor. And so, you know, as I have noted to folks, you know, my entire tenure as mayor has been with him. And that's been special. And I think it is really special when you can, because, you know, the first term or so, you're kind of getting used to being the mayor and kind of getting your legs, your sea legs, so to say. And as manager, he, you know, it takes a good year or two to kind of understand everything in a town. But we kind of grew into our positions together with Carborough. And I really feel like under his leadership, we have done so much these last 9 years. But yeah, we have been, your town council has been hard at work, first advertising for and then hiring a search firm that then advertised for and brought forward a large group of applicants to us. We've been working through all those applicants. We've been conducting interviews. This is all done in closed session. And we're hopeful that by sometime early next week, we'll be able to make an announcement.
Once again, Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle speaking there about town manager David Andrews. If you want to hear that full story, be sure to check out the audio archives of News on the Hill on chapelboro.com. Finally, to wrap things up here, news out of the Orange County Sheriff's Office today about a drug bust that happened last week. Details just released in an alert today. Two Orange County residents among three people arrested on several charges, including trafficking in cocaine and conspiracy to traffic. One of the men also has several weapons charges and charges for maintaining a place to distribute drugs levied against him. The drug bust was coordinated between Orange County Sheriff's Office, the Alamance County Sheriff's Office, the State Bureau of Investigation, and the Alamance Narcotics Enforcement Team, according to the release today. Time for a look at some sports news from around Carolina Athletics. The anticipation around UNC's football upcoming season is continuing to build, and the program announced one indication of that this morning. Season tickets for football at Keenan Stadium this season are sold out. That is the second time since head coach Mack Brown took over the program that has been the case, and it'll represent a major contrast to last year, where public health guidelines around COVID-19 limited crowds to largely family members and UNC students. Now, UNC says there is still a limited number of season ticket packages available for purchase, and pending availability, single game tickets will go on sale to the public Monday, July 26th. Fans who are able to go will see a Carolina team that returns 21 of 22 starters who played in the Orange Bowl last season, as well as an incoming freshman class that's ranked in the top 15 pretty consensusly across the country. And of course, starting with the first game on September 3rd, you'll be able to hear all of this fall's Carolina football action right here on 97.9 The Hill as well. Turning to some baseball news, the MLB draft happening right now, and a Diamond Heels star got selected this afternoon. Sophomore right-handed pitcher Austin Love was taken by the St. Louis Cardinals in the third round with the 90th overall pick. That was the highest a Carolina player has been taken so far this year. Love was Carolina's most consistent pitcher this past season, recording 129 strikeouts, which was good for the second most in a single season in program history. Two other Tar Heels taken later on in the draft today, Caleb Roberts and Justice Thompson, drafted by the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Cincinnati Reds, respectively. And a former UNC baseball star is on his way to the majors. He had a strong showing on a big stage this past weekend as well. Michael Busch just became the fourth former Tar Heel to ever play in the MLB All-Star Futures game on Sunday. He made the most of his time on the field with a nice defensive play in the fifth inning and a single in the sixth. The infielder was selected in the first round of the 2019 MLB draft by the Los Angeles Dodgers, and he is currently playing for their AA team in the minor leagues. Finally, to wrap things up in the NBA, the Phoenix Suns fell to the Milwaukee Bucks in Game 3 of the NBA Finals last night. Although the Suns' lead is now cut to 2-1 in the series, their player and former UNC standout Cameron Johnson had one of the main highlights of the night. In the third quarter, Johnson took the ball on a fast break, drove hard down the lane to the bucket, and absolutely threw down a major dunk on PJ Tucker's head, drawing the foul, getting the and one, and adding to his 18-point total on the night. Although they did not win, it is a pretty amazing dunk and highlight that's making the rounds on social media, so go check that out. The Suns and Bucks will match up in Game 4 of the NBA Finals Wednesday evening. Thanks again for tuning in to this Monday edition of News on the Hill. Let's turn to this report from the Public News Service. It's no secret that the COVID-19 pandemic has spurred financial hardships for small businesses across North Carolina. But business owners are now saying the pandemic has also highlighted issues within North Carolina's health care system and how it supports essential and service employees. Nadia Romlagan of the Public News Service has this report that features some local businesses.
Small business owners across the state say the pandemic has highlighted their struggles with the current healthcare system, and many want North Carolina's elected leaders to make expanding affordable healthcare a top priority. Owner of J Lights Market and Cafe in Durham, Jared Burton, says he provides some form of health insurance for both part and full-time employees. He says he's spending around $4,800 per year per worker on coverage.
And to be entirely honest, the policies over the last 10 years have gotten worse. Because the reality is, like, if you spend $4,000, but with the co-pays and the co-insurances, my employees are still going to be left with $1,500, $2,000 in cost if they're just, you know, going to the doctor on a regular basis.
Burton adds he supports Medicaid expansion, for which 90% of the cost would be paid by the federal government. North Carolina is among a small group of states that has continued to refuse expansion. But research shows if lawmakers agreed to enact it, around 500,000 people could gain health coverage, many of them small business employees. Burton points out that navigating the healthcare system has siphoned time and money away from running his business and driving local economic growth. He adds healthcare is a constant worry.
Somebody getting hurt here at work? It scares me about what that could do to the business, and not just them, you know. So, I mean, healthcare is a fear.
Lori Seiler of Seiler Services, a janitorial company in Burlington, says she can't afford health insurance for her mostly part-time and hourly employees, although she's advocated for better health coverage as part of the Alamance County Chamber of Commerce Legislative Advisory Council. Seiler feels progress is extremely slow, particularly in less affluent counties.
Our community has been deemed an unhealthy community, and what that does is a lot of insurance companies choose not to come here to provide insurance.
Alamance County, where Seiler's business is based, has an 18% uninsured rate. And of the more than 10% of North Carolinians who are uninsured, 86% are working families. For Public News Service, I'm Nadia Romlagan.
If you have seen some strange-looking dogs in the northern part of Orange County in the last few days, you are not alone. We just received a release earlier this afternoon from the Orange County Animal Services saying several wolf-dog hybrids are at large after escaping from their enclosure. The animals, which are presumed to be wolf and German Shepherd hybrids, recently escaped from a residence enclosure where they are reporting, or not, Orange County Animal Services is not said, but many people on social media are speculating that the animals were crossbred. It is estimated, according to the Orange County Animal Services, that approximately four dogs are still at large, and officials say most of them have already been safely captured and are being housed at the Orange County Animal Services facility. Now, animal control officers have reportedly set up traps in the Cedar Grove area where the dogs originally escaped their enclosure, and Animal Services is asking the public not to feed or interfere with the trapping efforts, stating, quote, if the public does feed or interfere, it will severely hinder efforts to safely capture the dogs. At this time, there's no confirmation that they've attacked anybody or any livestock or animals at the moment, but these dogs may display aggressive tendencies when confronted by people due to potentially that wolf nature and largely being wild animals. We have some photos that folks shared on the social media platform Nextdoor from the Northern Orange County area that you can check out to see what some of these dogs looked like when they were loose. And it is worth noting, Orange County Animal Services said no outcome has been determined for if the dogs will eventually be up for adoption once they are captured. They do say in their release, hybrids of this kind are usually not able to be kept as pets since there is not an approved rabies vaccine for these kinds of canines. If you spot these animals, be sure to give Animal Control a call at 919-942-7387. Once again, that's 919-942-7387. You can also find that phone number and, as I said, photos of what these dogs look like by heading to chapelboro.com.